Welcome to our interviews at the HR Tech Conference. This conversation is with Jamie Aitken, Vice President for HR Transformation at Betterworks. Welcoming Jamie Aitken to the HR Trends podcast booth. Now it's, what time is it? 4 p.m. on Wednesday. So you're hearing the canapes walking past. You can hear some of the excitement in the air. We're on the expo floor, and Jamie is such an exciting interview guest because you've just released a new book.
We did, we did.
You and your, so from Betterworks.
Correct. Me VP, and my CEO.
VP of HR Transformation.
Correct.
So first, before we talk about the book, your title is super interesting.
Thank you.
Everything I'm hearing so far, is about how HR is having to transform.
Yes.
So can you tell us about your role?
Sure. Well, I mean, it comes from, because the beautiful thing was I worked with my CEO to come up with that title.
Okay.
Because, frankly, it describes not only what I do now, but what I've been doing for my entire career in HR.
Okay.
So I've always been drawn to change, transformation, whether it be a business transformation or a change within HR. Mm-hmm. So I've been drawn to the puzzle that needs to be solved.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just apt that here I am now with what is the perfect title, which is for me, which is HR Transformation.
And can you tell us a little bit about what Betterworks does?
Sure. So Betterworks is about creating an environment. So it's a platform, it's a SaaS platform. And it's about creating an environment where we're moving from traditional performance management that is sort of a backward-looking, twice a year, not in any way engaging, demoralizing for employees, managers hate it. And as an HR practitioner, I can tell you, I spent a lot of time and energy defending that it had to be done this way.
Yeah.
And was delighted to be in a position at Betterworks where we're actually flipping the whole notion on its head and creating an environment where people are actually finding that it is engaging and that they're getting excited about the fact that there's focus and support and coaching around their own development and career growth. There's authentic and clear feedback on where they could be improving.
Yeah.
There's a focus on how can we help you achieve or accomplish goals.
Yeah.
But they're getting all of this in real time as opposed to twice a year where you have a sense of dread. This is something much more in the flow, which is frankly the way humans operate anyway.
Right.
I mean, I don't have a meeting once a year with my partner where we talk about the health of our... There's feedback and recognition and constructive feedback all throughout the year, right? So why aren't we doing that at work?
What a great topic. And I tell you what, we did a recent podcast episode around millennials and benefits and looking at the data around preferences and those new Gen Z wanting that career development. Well, who doesn't? But maybe more vocally being like, no, I want to see some progress, right?
Right.
And how do you do that without always changing their title or whatever, right?
Right, exactly. Well, and I think too, it's not just generational because I think there is something to that. But it's also very personal because there's some folks, I remember I had one person that reported into me. We had a meeting. I gave him feedback after the meeting was finished.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came back about 5 minutes later and said, I really want to give you feedback on the feedback you gave me. And I was like, wow, interesting.
Yeah.
Because, you know, then it became an ongoing learning for both of us.
Yeah.
But there's others that it's like, I don't need feedback. You just, you know, let me know.
Right.
Let me know if I'm doing so. So I think that there is a generational piece too.
Right.
But I also think each individual is going to want to tweak how they experience that for themselves.
Yeah.
And the notion is that challenge as an HR practitioner is to be able to craft that in such a way that it feels as individual as the conversation you would have, you know, with your, you know, a partner. I'm not saying we talk at the same level. All I'm saying, though, is that some people are going to want a lot of feedback and recognition and conversations. Others, maybe not so much. And so you need to be able to adjust to that.
such a great topic. I'm so glad you're... Now, also, we should note, you've just written a book with your CEO.
Yes.
And tell us a bit about the book, its title and so on. But I just have to say, like, looking, you know, reading the introduction with Josh Burson doing the foreword.
Yep.
Very nice. You basically, it's a very intriguing idea where you're partly doing this because the CEO and the VP of HR transformation should be having these conversations, right? And just hearing the talks out there today, it's a C-suite topic, people.
Right.
Now. Right. Can you talk about the book?
Yes, absolutely. So the book's called Make Work Better. Mm-hmm. And we very specifically chose the perspective of the two of us.
Yeah.
So Doug as a CEO, me as an HR leader, because it's really important that anything to do with performance or any of the HR processes, frankly, but performance is really a big one because it houses not just goal attainment, but also development, you know, goals, and the whole feedback coaching piece to it. So it really becomes, you know, an important aspect for the company's performance, right?
Yeah.
But it's been perceived historically as an HR issue. And that's actually really weird because if you think about it, if it's so vital, it should be part of the business discussion.
Yeah.
So in one chapter in particular, we talk about how important it is for CEOs to have the partner that they need to in their CPO or CHRO role, mm-hmm. and that person needs to be challenging them and really walking lockstep in terms of the business strategy as opposed to being, you know, sort of not at the table as the common phrase is.
Yeah.
And so in this case, Doug wrote a list of here's the things as a CEO you should be looking for in your HR leader.
Uh-huh.
And it's things like challenging, understanding the business, etc.
Yeah.
But then the other part of that chapter was my perspective, which is here are the things you need to be looking forward, you know, for in your CEO.
Oh.
And one of them being if that person is, you know, that if the person you're reporting into in an interview process for a CHRO position is the CFO, for example, don't even bother going to the interview because you are going to be relegated to an administrative role. So that's just one chapter, but we talk about the, you know, why traditional performance management is broken.
Yeah.
And then we get into great specifics about what you need to do both from a process perspective. Sorry, there's the Canadian showing up.
No, I love it.
Or process,
I live in
process.
Maine. I love
there
it.
You go.
Yeah. You do say, mum instead of mom, which I, as a British person,
there
endorse.
You go.
Okay, carry on.
My dad's from Glasgow, so
okay,
I understand. I understand that too. I'm multilingual. No, but the idea that all of the components of what you need to do in order to create this, what we call modern performance enablement, both from a system perspective, a process perspective, the change management that's going to be required, the behaviors that need to shift in order to make that transformation sustainable.
Yeah.
So one of the things I'm very proud about with BetterWorks is that there's an awful lot of tech companies that are focused on the tech.
Yeah.
And that's fantastic. There's amazing things you can do with technology. Mm-hmm. But in order for that tech to really provide value, you need to make sure that the underpinnings of the change, the adoption, that all of those aspects of transformation are achieved so that you actually have sustainable improvement, right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you just have some beautiful technology that's akin to having a gorgeous sports car in your driveway with no gas in it.
Right.
Right?
And it's just picking up on the conversations we've had so far, like we had Jess Von Bank in the opening. I don't know if you know, she's wonderful, Leap Gen Merson. You know, she was saying that similar thing of don't go in the trap of just kind of getting the tech thinking it's going to solve all the problems. It's like really focus on what are we trying to actually solve or what are we trying to build? And then that'll help be part of it. But I love that.
Well, and I'll just add one thing too, because I think the other piece that HR sometimes forgets to do still is that there's, you know, what is the problem we're trying to solve? And it can't just be we have a clumsy, awkward, or hated HR process that needs to be better. It needs to be, what is the business problem we're solving?
Yeah.
Here's how HR can support achieving that.
Yeah.
And therefore, we need the tools, support, environment, et cetera, to do so.
Right.
Because if you just go into a boardroom looking for investment,
yeah,
and all you have in your business case is because it's something HR wants, and no link to business, it's going to be a hard sell to get the funding you need.
So going straight business strategy and then build from there.
Exactly.
That's brilliant. Now, coming into some of the questions we've been asking everyone, and we're getting the most illuminating answers. That's like, as someone just said, I think it was Jeff Williams from Paychex, it's like a tapestry is emerging of all of your answers.
Interesting.
So particularly with HR transformation, your view, going into 2024, what do you think might be one of a major challenge for HR in the coming year?
I would say it's going to be the same challenge, and I have a challenge for them. So the same challenge amplified since the pandemic, which is specific to performance management, which is, why haven't we solved this problem? Why have we still continued with a process that isn't moving the needle for the business? It's not actually moving any performance. And it is like this completely demoralizing effect on employees and managers.
Yes.
So why are we still doing it? And I think some of the aspects of maybe being a little bit concerned about, can we actually have this? Is this too much change for our organization? There's a lot of reasons why maybe there's some hesitancy. But guess what? The pandemic just amplified the need for this change, because people are expecting greater connection, not only with the companies they work for, but with the people that they work for on their team, their peers.
Yeah.
And there's a higher expectation from their managers in terms of coaching and feedback, particularly if it's virtual.
Yeah.
Right? And there's a whole generation of new managers that have come to pass in the pandemic that are managing without the proper support, enablement, coaching, etc., on how to actually be a good people manager.
Yeah.
So again, this is just getting louder and louder.
Yes.
As
and in the labor market, there's not enough people.
You can't
lose those people.
Exactly.
Right.
So my challenge. So the challenge hasn't changed. Then.
Yeah.
I'll pause it. It's my challenge is fix it. Come on, be bold. The word, the challenge to HR is be bold.
Yeah.
Because whatever has gotten in the way and held you back before, it's just making that pounding get louder and louder.
Wow. Powerful. Goosebumps. Okay, great answer. Next question. What is going to be key, in your view, for helping employees thrive in the coming year?
So I think a critical, or one of the most critical things about employees thriving, is that they have really good, strong managers who know how to support them. Like a true people manager knows how to get things out of the way for their employees, knows how to support them, knows how to challenge them and stretch them, knows how to help them get to where they want to in their career, right?
Yeah.
Like that's a really, if you close your eyes, I can immediately think of at least three managers
yes.
that were incredible at that in my career.
Yes.
I can, if I close my eyes and start to cry, think about three managers who were the absolute opposite, right?
Yeah.
So you know how important and critical that is.
Yeah.
So I would say enabling managers to be so much better at that whole coaching role will allow employees to thrive.
That is a great answer, because that would have big effects, wouldn't it?
Huge.
Yeah, the
huge.
Ripple effects of that.
Absolutely.
Focus on the managers, giving them the skills to learn how to do this. It doesn't come naturally to everyone, right?
Exactly. And by the way, we have not in HR done a great job for decades on shoring up that organizational competence within our management, our line management.
Yeah.
We've maybe thrown a few courses at them and assumed that they were suddenly going to become amazing.
Yeah.
Well, that's terribly unfair.
Yeah.
So the idea that you make managers more effective, but fundamentally better coaches, make them really, really capable and confident at being having the conversations that really help employees thrive.
Yeah.
That I think is the igniter.
Amazing. So final question is, we're asking for one word for HR in 2024. This is kind of what would be the word that you would send them into the new year focusing on?
Bold.
Bold.
Yeah, be bold. If I'm allowed to, be bold would be the two words I would
be bold.
Be bold. Yeah, this is not the time to hold your tongue.
Yeah.
There's an awful lot of attention being focused on people.
Yeah.
And, you know, the concept of allowing people to thrive, I think, is a big part of that.
Yeah.
So be bold. You know what's broken. Go fix
Now's
it.
Now's the time to start doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. What a great angle. I'm so glad. And get a book if you haven't got one. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joy.
Unum is a registered trademark and marketing brand of Unum Group and its insuring subsidiaries.